my foot say anything?
Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. My special guest tonight is a good friend of mine, Andrew Trevino, who lives here in Sedona. Welcome to the show, Andrew.
Aloha.
Aloha. And we are going to talk tonight about a whole bunch of spiritual stuff. But before we go into that, before I have you introduce yourself, Andrew, I just want to make a couple comments for the listeners. One is that I have heard that if you have been having really intense headaches and problems with your vision this last week, you may be extremely sensitive to earthquakes and to tsunamis and things that are going on with the earth changes. And I mention that because it suddenly hit me today that several of the people around here have been going, oh my God, blinding headache, don't know what I'm going to do. And it's usually for up to 2 to 3 days before the earthquake or tsunami happens. So just an FYI for people out there if you've been going through that. Two other things. If you would go to my website, www.drvalerienmd.com, click on the products, check out what's at the top of that page that is talking about a new gas additive. It's actually a catalyst for your combustion chamber. You can now reduce greenhouse emissions, save your pocketbook, and increase the efficiency of your car engine all in one. And it's pretty inexpensive. So check that out. There's also investment or business opportunity there if you want to do that. And yes, I am using it, and I am amazed at what's happening. The other thing is, if you are interested in doing internet broadcasting or sending video emails to your friends and family or advertising that way, the other opportunity is go to www.vmdirect.com/drvalerie. Little self-aggrandizing self-promotion there, shameless self-promotion, as they say. And another item before we get started is the call-in numbers. This is live, unless you're listening on the archives. So if you'd like to call in and talk to us, give us your questions and comments. In the USA, that's 1-877-876-5227. And for Canada, it's 888-810-8322. International Direct is 530-876-3222. And as always, if you are too bashful to call in, you can hit the BBS Fast Chat, which is at the bottom of that little panel that has all the call-in numbers, and just hit that and ask your question, and I will be happy to relay that to our guest. And we'll see if we can get your answer on the air. So, now that all the business stuff is out of the way, Andrew, if you would go ahead and give everybody a little bit of background information on you and what you're going to be talking about, that would be great.
I've never done this before, so this is a new thing for me, and I apologize if there's any miscommunication or misunderstandings to begin with. A lot of this information I'll be posting, or it's already posted at my website, divineimages.org. Spiritualimageproductions.com, and it's also some divineimages.org, www.spiritualimageproductions.com. I've got extensive educational background degrees in education, theater, psychology, and I've been on a spirit quest, a vision for quite a long time. It kind of began in 1987 when I was in acting school. I was talking to one of my professors, and all of a sudden, this energy, like I got zapped, like a magnetic energy just went through my body, and all of a sudden, I found this person. I found myself talking to this person and saying, "What do you how do you meditate, or, you know, what do you know about meditation? And I don't know where the heck that came from, but, you know, I just found myself asking them that. So anyhow, in my walk, I've been all through all kinds of things and trials and tribulations, if you want to call it that. And I've come across several different teachers, including Jesus, Maitreya Buddha, Jhwa Kuo, Saint Germain, the Virgin Mary, Archangel Michael, Sai Baba, and just a number of teachers that I've come across and work with, either inwardly or outwardly, depending on the situation. But one of the things that I've come across is looking at the teaching models in terms of what it takes to become enlightened. And so I'm an education major, and so I should know what teaching models look like. And one of the best teaching models that I've come across have to do with the five daily spiritual practices. So if there's anything, that's going to be the talk of my for this evening. This includes prayer, meditation, reading some kind of spiritual or inspiring readings, and then also doing some kind of spiritual or service work on a daily basis, and then also either singing some spiritual music or listening to some spiritual music, or just singing some mantras, repeating some mantras or prayers throughout the day that would keep you focused on being the light one, if you want to call it that.
So that's good. So we can listen.
Excuse me?
Yeah, so we can listen. We don't have to actually sing it. And you know, for those who are like me, who if you sing in the shower, people rush in to save you, I think listening is good.
Fortunately, I've been versed. I've had a lot of background in theater, and so singing, dancing, playing drums, and all. I have an amount of talents that I've worked with. So fortunately, that's not as big of an issue. But a lot of times I do. I like to just kick back and just listen to music, or sometimes I'll just listen. I'll just do a mantra throughout the day, and that just kind of keeps me focused and in tune with what it is that I got to be doing for myself.
Yeah, so we'll go into that in a little bit more detail. We'll do each section, listeners, because Andrew and I were sitting having lunch the other day and talking about spiritual practices and the experiences that we had been through in our lifetimes that have brought us to the point where we really understand ourselves a heck of a lot better and are able to move out into the world and do more things now. And we kind of hit upon, you know, there are different disciplines out there. They're all steps. And you can take, you know, each step, you know, in little baby steps. You can take two steps at a time, three steps, or just jump the whole flight. You know, whatever it is that you want to do. But I think that people need a really good basis in, okay, now how do I do this? If I don't know how to do this and I don't have the time or the money or the connections to get with people that can teach me, you know, how do I get from step A to step B, that's what this show is about, to help you to get...
Go ahead.
Yeah, to help you to get on that path and then choose whichever way you want to go after that. But these are our daily spiritual disciplines that will definitely help you to move forward. So having said that, let's go ahead with the first area.
Well, this is what's great about this program, this model, this teaching model for becoming enlightened, or enlightened one, if you want to call it that, is that it's very user-friendly, very easy to do. And you can take anywhere from, you know, take about 30 minutes to do this every day on a daily basis. And the good thing about it is it keeps your mind focused, keeps you in a healthy state of mind, a frame of state. And it doesn't matter who you're, what religion you're from, what background you're from, what your level of development is. It's so simple to do. It's just really simple to do. I mean, it's amazing. You know, they have all these diets that are really simple to do. Well, this is the enlightenment diet. That's really simple to do. Five easy steps. It's great. I love it. Now, the first thing is, let's go back to music again, and just working with your voice and working with your sound. I mean, when one of the things I discovered when you're as an educator is that people learn through all the different senses, through hearing, seeing, touch, smell, taste, and all the different senses. And not everyone learns exactly the same. Some learn with different senses better than others. So that's the great thing about this, is that it covers all the different senses in a sense of speaking. Now, mm-hmm. One of the things that they just say is that if you really want to maintain is a level of enlightenment that you maintain your focus. It's like in business sense. You know, if you want to make that sell, you want to sell the product, you got to stay focused, and you have all these little affirmations that you paste around you. I will sell 100 bags a day, and there's all kinds of different things. Well, with this, it's you maintain your focus through. You can put mantras up, you can put affirmations up around you. You can listen to have an assortment of different spiritual music or inspiring words. It doesn't have to necessarily be religious, but just inspiring or something that is something that's really spiritual that will allow you to open up your mind, open up your heart. And the whole idea is to open up your heart and stay in your heart. And when you stay in your heart, then it's so much easier to go through life, and everything just seems like a bliss. And once you
would you say then if people could find any kind of music that would actually give them the feeling of joy and love within their heart, that would be appropriate?
Very good. Very good. That's exactly correct. And this is what I love about this. You don't have to be religious to do this. You just have to do it religiously, devotionally, in a sense of speaking. Whatever it is that you like to do, do it religiously. And I guarantee you, in 21 days, if you start this program in 21 days, you'll probably be a different person, and then you'll continue to grow. But anyhow, and you can do just a mantra. You can just say a mantra as simple as, I am love, I am love, I am love, I am love, throughout the whole day. I mean, I do a mantra that I have a mantra that I say, and I probably say at least 50 times every day. Mm-hmm. And whenever I'm in between work and doing assignments and whatever else, I just say the mantra. And then the other thing you can do that would be helpful is just maintain your focus on the name of a deity like Jesus or Saint Germain or the Virgin Mary. Just keep visualizing their name or their eyes or their parents. You can do something like that. Or there's so many ways you can do this. It kind of relates and ties into quantum physics, shifting, working with space, matter, time, and continuum and energy. And if you change any of those factors, then what will happen is it'll change your whole body system, your emotional, physical, mental, and emotional body system, your spiritual body. And if you continue to do it enough, then you'll start living that lifestyle, whatever that change may be. So anyhow, the whole idea is to maintain your sense of focus throughout the day. And then there's the five spiritual practices that allow you to help you do that, and then maintain it on a regular pattern. Now, and there's like right now, I'll turn it up a little bit. I'm listening to some music by a woman by the name of Faith Rivera. I don't know if you've ever heard of her. She has some of the most incredible, inspiring music that you could ever come across. She has assortments of CDs in search of faith. I mean, there's so many of them, but she has some incredible music that you might want to listen to further down the road if you get a chance to check that out. Meantime, the next thing that that I like to do is every morning I do this. Every morning. I mean, I'm not talking about just on Wednesdays or just on Sundays. I mean, this is being spiritual is not something that you decide to do just on Wednesdays or Sundays. It's like taking a shower. You do it every day. It's a way of life. So if you want to be a spiritualist, however you want to call it, if you want to be enlightened, then it's something that's a way of life for you that you do on a regular basis, and it allows you to be there in that state of enlightenment on a daily basis. So if you want to become an enlightened one, then you have to play the part, be the part, live the part. Start the day with love, end the day with love, spend the day with love. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, prayer is another important thing, and this has to do with communication. For with prayer, you're talking to God, you're talking to your higher self, you're talking to the source, whatever you want to call it, and you're establishing some rapport, some communication about things that are going on in your life, or maybe their life, Jesus' life, or Saint Germain's life, or Virgin Mary, whoever it is that you like to communicate to. But, you're talking about things. So when you're praying, you're communicating. And there's this one really cool prayer that I found in a book called The 10 Vows of Success by Og Mandino. It's probably an older book, but it's called... Prayer to an Unseen Friend, It's just like one of the most awesome prayers that you could ever come across. I won't read it now because it's kind of lengthy, but if you ever come across that book, see that book, I kind of revised it a little bit and just kind of personalized it and made it my own. And it's just a really cool prayer to say every once in a while I'll take it out and I'll say it again. And the only reason I haven't said it in a while is just because I had misplaced it and I haven't found it until today, finally. But anyhow,
the other thing too is the great invocation.
Invocation is more like a mantra. It kind of is a prayer, but it's more like a ceremonial mantra that you use. That is a nice mantra or a prayer, if you want to call it that you can say on a daily basis, which is really nice to use. But what in the Bible, and I had time about a year ago, I just decided to sit down and read the Bible. I read the whole Bible, the whole New Testament, within 2 weeks time frame. And I came across in Matthew and I think in Luke, and it talked about prayer and how Jesus recommends that you pray. And he says, just do your prayers, but, do them silently. Don't go make a whole dramatic scene out of it. Just do it in silence and just, talk to God. And like he was a person, basically, so that's what he's saying. And then afterwards, he recommends that you say the Lord's Prayer, which is amazing. I had never even heard of that and thought about that until I read this. So, if you're one of those people that leans more towards working and developing with Jesus, then you might want to consider saying the Great Invocation, Lord's Prayer on a daily basis after your prayers. So anyhow, moving on. And it's Matthew 6:9 and Luke 11 that you'll find that at. One of the other things too that will help you, and again, you can do this prayer and do it like 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes at night. Just do it on a regular basis. But whatever you do, just make it a routine for you, a way of life, and then you'll see how that'll change your life, and then how it'll open up your life and your heart to even more that's out there. And that than you've ever dreamed of. Now, one of the other things that is part of these five spiritual practices is called is the reading. Reading some kind of spiritual or inspirational information. The Bible, the Quran, the Vedas, the 10 Vows of Success. There's so much out there. New Age stuff, religious stuff. There's so much, you can read stuff about art that's inspiring, that's spiritual. I mean, there's so much out there that you can read that, and you just find something that you like to read and just read it. And it's just like really awesome that you can just, and it could just be a quote or it could be just something that you read out of a magazine like Yoga Journal or something like that. But just find something that you want to read, maybe for 5 minutes or maybe just a quote or, 10, 15, whatever. Some people like to read at night. A lot of Gemini people like to read at night. And then, just kind of meditate on it or just put it down. And then whatever it is that you're reading, you'll be able to kind of integrate in your body system. Again, you're shifting time. You're shifting some of that energy within yourself. And then it'll be integrated within your body. There's a book, I believe, by her name is Michelle Wright. It has to do with ecology. That has to do with working with plants and elementals and manifestation and all this other stuff. I'm not putting a plug in for her, but that if you want to learn about some spiritual stuff and working with nature, that might be something that you might want to consider. Now moving on. Now, is there any questions that you have at this point that you want to tap into?
I think what would be good though is if you would just mention the five practices just as a block, so people know where we're going with this.
Okay.
Step now, one, two, three, four, and five, and then.
The five spiritual practices, and now I'm not saying these in any particular order because you don't have to do these in any particular order. But the five spiritual practices, again, I said this earlier, but they are prayer, prayer in the morning and night for about 5 minutes, and then reading again, and all these things you can do for about 5 minutes, and then it's a done deal. But you can read some kind of inspirational or spiritual works or religious works, 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes at night, meditation, and then doing some kind of singing or some kind of mantras or listening to some spiritual music, and then doing some kind of service activity or project. Now, the next subject matter that I'd like to cover has to do with meditation. There's a number of meditations that you can do that, I mean, there's so much out there that you can learn techniques for meditation that you can work with. But one of the things that I like to do in the morning is called Joy Key Meditation. It's very simple. And if you want to, I mean, I don't know who all is out there listening, but if you just want to sit back right now and relax. Now, one of the things that I, when I was in high school, doing one of the things that I did what you call a self-relaxation technique, which is a form of meditation. I just go through and relax my feet, relax my toes, relax my calves, relax my thighs, my hips, and I just kind of do some breathing in between. And then I'd relax my back and my spine and my arms and my shoulders, my fingers, my stomach, all my internal organs, my chest, my neck, and then do some more breathing in between. And then I'd relax my mind, my ears, my nose, my cheeks, my eyes, my tongue, all my entire body, and do some more breathing in between. And then, you know, that would be a process that would take me an hour to do sometimes, and it would just be amazing. But there's a new meditation that I like to do. Along with that, right after I do that sometimes, and, you know, sometimes I do this, and this I do pretty regularly. It's called Joy Key or Light Meditation. And what I do is just I imagine this flame, this light, this candle flame. You can put, like, a candle flame right in front of you, and you just look at the flame, and then just bring that flame, just imagine that flame coming into your body, and then just bringing it in and just burning up all the negative energies in your heart space, in your chest space. Bring out up all the negative energies and just allow it just to integrate into your body system and just make your body lighter. And then I'd say, I'll say something like, I am love. I am love. I am love. And then I'll bring that flame up to my neck and burn out all the negative energies out of my neck. And then say something like, I speak only of love. I speak only of love. I speak only of love. And of course, you can tailor this however you want and do whatever you want with it. But, you know, this is a simple example. And then I'll take that flame and I'll burn out all the negative energies out of my mind and my brain and just let it all just saturate and shift the molecular structure of my body system and so that it's much lighter. And then I'll say something like, I think only lovingly. I think only lovingly. I think only lovingly. And just continue to work that down to my solar plexus area, to my stomach area, burn out all the negative energies out of that area. And that's usually associated with emotions, so that's a really good place to really work with for a lot of people. Burn out all the negative energies out of my stomach and my solar plexus area and just say something like, I feel only love, I feel only love, I feel only love. And then I'll burn out all the negative energies out of my arms and my fingers and my hands and my elbows, all my shoulders, burn out all, and just allow my arms, my upper limbs to become flames, this golden white Christ flame, a light of flame. And it just burn out all the negative energies out of the arms, and then just say something like, I do only for love, I do only for love, I do only for love. And then I'll bring the negative, I'll bring the flame, this incredible, awesome, magical flame down to my sacral area, or my sex chakra, or my pubic area, my pelvic area, and bring out all the negative energies out of that space. Just burn out all the negative energies, and just let that all that stuff heal and just integrate and shift, and then say something like, my sexual nature is only loving. My sexual nature is only loving. My sex nature is only loving. And then I'll bring it down lower to my base root chakra, burn out all the negative energies out of my tailbone area, out of my buttocks area, burn out all the negative energies out of there. And then say something like, I act only lovingly. I act only lovingly. I act only lovingly. And then I'll bring the flame down to my lower limbs, to my legs, my thighs, my hips, or my toes, my feet. Burn out all the negative energies out of my lower area. And then just say something like, I travel only lovingly. I travel only lovingly. Or I walk only lovingly. I walk only lovingly. I walk only lovingly. However you want to tailor that to you for yourself. And then I'll become the flame. I'll just become this incredible, magical, spiritual, Christ, golden flame, and just say, I am love. I am love. I am love. Now, if you really want to go further and do a service project out of this for yourself and for the planet, you can engulf the planet or just the place that you live in, the building that you live in. Put the whole building in this flame. And then say, and then instead of saying I, make it a we, and we are loving, we are love, we are love, we are love. And then you can do that with a planet or whatever else. And if you, you know, that'll help cleanse the energies of your building or the planet or whatever it is that you want to do. I mean, there's so much out there that you can do, so much stuff that you can work with. It's just amazing. But anyhow, that's just a very simple meditation that you can do on a regular. It only takes a few minutes to do that. You can do that in the morning, at night. At night. And they say that when you do a meditation, usually that meditation integrates and continues forward, and it stays active for about 12 hours. So that's why it's good to do a meditation in the morning and then a meditation at night. So that when you're in your dream state, it also kind of helps protect you and keep you clear even during your dream state. Now, another meditation that you can do is a sun gazing meditation, I believe it's called, in the morning, right after the sun comes up and rises for about 30 minutes, just gaze at the sun and just allow the sun's energies to come in and heal your body system. You can do that same thing at night, right before the sun falls, sunsets. Within the 30-minute time frame, that right before it sets, you look at the sun for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And that's all it takes. And if you do that on a daily basis, you'll actually find that it'll help heal your mental state and your body state, and just kind of just really promote some really amazing energies for your body system.
Now, one thing we need to mention, though, is to be careful, because there are some people that take you literally and go stand out there and burn out their retinas. So you do have to use a little bit of care with this, and when you're looking into the sun, you can either look directly, which is way too bright for most people, or you can look like kind of to the side, so you're not you're not getting any of the damage that happens. And you can build up to this, which we need to mention to people too. And if they're going to do this, they really need to look into that a little bit more and make sure they're doing it properly.
Now, well, earlier too. And that's a good point. And I do make this plug that I am not a considered a licensed physician, so I don't make that declaration. But I have been given advice been given information that it's best to do again the sun gazing meditation in the mornings, right as soon as the sun rises. Not during the daytime, especially not in the afternoons, because that'll hurt your eyes. And again, that's the best time to do this meditation, is right as soon as the sun rises, within 30 minutes after the sun rises, within that time period. That's when it's most effective for that healing purpose, for that meditational state. Eventually, what'll happen is that if you do, and years ago, I used to do what you call transmission meditation. And if you go to a website called Share International, or just look up transmission meditation, they advise me to use that the great invocation that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They said, well, why don't you just say the great invocation, and do it, and then maintain your focus at the third eye, or between the space between your eyes, right, a little bit up into the forehead. But anyhow, there's all kinds of information out there that provides you information concerning the third eye and chakra systems, and you can look that up for yourself. But anyhow, they said that you can just go in there and say the great invocation in the morning, and then just maintain your focus for about 5 minutes at the third eye level, and then do it at night for 5 minutes. So I said, okay, and then they told me, well, why don't you just increase it, a little bit at a time, and then when you're comfortable, you'll get there. And then I started doing transmission meditation with groups, in group format, where I would go and this was like in Dallas, Texas when I started all this back in 1987. But I would go to the groups, and they would meditate in group fashion for about an hour and a half at a time, and as a group. And that's something that's a little bit more elaborate and a little bit more advanced type of thing. But, you know, it's something that I think will be much more involved in the future. But anyhow, that's what I did. I would do the transmission meditation in the mornings for 5 minutes. And, you know, I'd sit there and do it. And, you know, if you're new to meditation, don't worry about it, because I would sit there like 5, 10 minutes, and then I would fall asleep and just fall on my bed and then wake up about half hour, 15 minutes, and go, oh, man, that was a good meditation. Cool. So, anyhow, you know, it's something that is that, you know, for newcomers, it's not something that you're going to all of a sudden know it. You know, it's just like an instrument or singing or dancing or whatever. It's something that you have to work with, practice, and eventually you'll get good at it. You'll get really, really good at it. And then you'll be amazed at the types of experiences you'll have in your life, and you can't explain it, and you can't go out and pay millions of dollars for some of the experiences, because there's no other way to obtain some of the experiences other than through meditation. So, and then the other thing about meditation is that you're listening to God. The biggest thing about meditation is that you're listening to God, not talking to God, and you're listening to what's going on. There's some information that God wants you to know, or the Virgin Mary, higher self, whatever you want to call that part of the aspect of yourself. And then the whole idea is to open up your mind so that you can be open to some information that would be useful for you. Because what happens is eventually you'll go, well, what am I supposed to do with all this? You go, oh, I have a life purpose. Oh, okay. So, yeah, I have a mission. I have a mission that I need to do, and I just need to, get with the program. That's all to it. So that's one of the things that's really great about this, is that it allows you to, if you do these five spiritual practices, it allows you to come more in tune, more in focus, and more directed with your true life purpose, with your soul life purpose. Not just your personality as a person, as an individual, a lower aspect of yourself, but as a higher self, as a more evolved being. Everybody's come here to do something that's worthy of their cause, of their being here. And everybody has self-worth of being here, but the problem is so many people get caught up in drugs and alcohol and all that other stuff that has very little to do with what your higher life aspect is, and so they get lost, they get confused, they get disarranged. I mean, they just go every which way but the direction they're supposed to be getting into.
Well, yeah, so, because they come to this earth and they're so sensitive, and they can't handle what's going on because they're so sensitive, they're so tuned in, and so they turn to drugs and alcohol and dangerous behaviors in order to take their mind off of these feelings that are overwhelming them. And the Great Depression that happens when they suddenly realize that they're here,
Exactly. Yeah, and that's so true. You know, they get caught up in their own little, their own selfish regard, their own abusiveness. And there's so much abuse out there. They get caught up in all the abusiveness, and when they can just listen within and talk to their higher self or God or whatever, and all the answers are there for you. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are, what you are. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a president of the United States. All the answers for all the stuff that you need to accomplish in this life are right there. They're in your heart. And with the development of your mind, that's why I tell people, go to college, go to school, get some education, because that's all part of the program. In order to become, get in touch with that higher aspect of yourself, you have to have some knowledge base, some intelligence developed, so that you can be able to get there and understand it. Because if you can't understand it, then how in the heck else are you going to get there? So it's helpful to get an education or develop your knowledge base and understanding. So
else, it helps you with discernment. It helps you to be able to think in a logical manner. Because when you start to meditate, if you're in I don't want to call it bad, but if you're in a lower vibratory state, and maybe you've been doing drugs and alcohol for a long time and you suddenly decide after listening to this show that you want to do this the right way, okay, great. Or, you know, maybe it's not the right way for you. Who knows? But if you're in that lower vibratory space, then it's really, really important to make sure that you connect with your higher self and, you know, with your guides and guardians, as we call them, you know, the higher vibratory essence first. Because otherwise, when you meditate, you may be hearing some things that are of a lower vibration, and you don't have the discernment developed yet to tell what's real and you know, what is a direct connection coming from the God source. You know,
that's a good point, Valerie. That's a good point, because and that's key to what we're talking about in terms of, and that's, you said it right there, what in terms of, and the key word being, operative word being real. What is real? Mm-hmm. And to me, in my understanding, and all the teachers I've come across, and everybody I've talked to, and everything I've ever done and experienced, you know, that word keeps coming up. What is real? What is real? And always, it the answer is to me, whatever is in your heart, that's what's real. Everything else that has nothing to do with your heart is all illusion. It's unreal. Okay.
Right.
Maybe it's
the
not
only
bad,
reality
maybe it's not good,
is love.
But it's not real reality. And then, and the only way to be able to stay in your heart space is to be real and to be in touch with that. And if drugs keep you away from that, then you're going to have a hard time. If illusions or prejudice or bias or abusiveness or, you know, alcohol, whatever keeps you away from being in your heart space, in your heart, then it's not real. And that's what's really great about these five spiritual practices, that it allows you to, number one, come into contact and direction with your true life purpose, with your soul life purpose. And number two, it allows you to taste that energy of love. Now, it's kind of like going to a Baskin-Robbins, and you've never eaten ice cream before. I keep telling people this. You know, you go to Baskin-Robbins, and you eat some ice cream, and you go, wow, that tastes awesome. You know, most people that I know, they just eat some ice cream, and they go, wow, that's awesome. I mean, I want some more of that. And then there's different flavors of it. And so there's all these different flavors of love that you can experience through different teachers and different methods and different techniques, but it's still the same source. It's still the same taste, the same feeling. And if you ever experience that bliss of love, it's indescribable. It's incredible. And you never forget it. And then you go, oh, I want some more of that. I want some more of that. So how do I do it? How do I do it? This is how you do it. These very simple, very basic steps are the way to taste that love, live that love, be that love, and just really work with it. So now, and eventually, and that's what happens. Once you continue forward with working with meditation, what happens is that you eventually start being the meditation. Your whole life just from the day, second that you wake up, and even into your dream state when you go to bed and go to sleep, it's just the whole meditate. It's a whole just a whole meditation. It's almost like a big just a whole the whole day is just like a dream. So it's amazing how that works. But eventually, you know, enough work on yourself, if you don't take the time to invest in developing this part of yourself, then what's going to happen is the unreal is going to take the time and develop you instead. So either you can take control over it and develop it for yourself, or the unreal is going to develop it for you. And I assure you, you may not like it. Most likely you won't. So you take your pick. You have the option. Always have the option. Now, one of the last things, I'm sorry, is there anything other questions that you have at this point?
Well, one of the things that I'd like to say at this point, because we only have, 10 or 15 minutes more, if anybody has any questions about any of this or about any of the meditative practices you're using or any of these spiritual practices that you're using right now, this would be a good time to call in.
In case you forget or you're having a hard time with this right now, I'm going to put some of this on my website, spiritualimageproductions.com, further down the road. I'm going to develop it more so some of these practices are there, and then different samples for doing this, and then different ways of accomplishing this. So, one of the things before I forget that I did want to mention is, you know, people may be asking, well, How do you come across your true life purpose? How do you know what you're supposed to do in life or what you're supposed to accomplish in life? Who are you supposed to be in life? Well, one of the best ways that I know of, if you've ever read the Celestine Prophecy, which I thought was awesome because it was really good for allowing me to understand that part of myself. And in order to really find your life purpose, maybe not so much your soul life purpose, but just your life purpose, is take all the good qualities of your parents, both your parents, and you may not love them, you may not hate them, it doesn't matter, but put all that ego to the side, put all that prejudice to the side, all that personality stuff to the side, and then just take a really good, honest, sincere look at your parents, both of them, mom and your dad. And if you don't know them, well, one of the things that I recommend, which I do is astrology readings, is do an astrology reading on one or the other or both. And then take all the good qualities of both your parents, put them all together. That's basically your true life purpose, who you are, who you're supposed to be. And then going into the soul purpose, a little bit more developed, but at least that'll give you a direction to start and go.
That's an interesting one. I hadn't heard about that one before.
Yeah, I read the Celestine Prophecy, and I was bewildered because I did that for myself. And and as much conflict as I had with both my parents, I was still able to do that. You know, put my ego to the side, do that. And I was really surprised that how accurate that was. I was just really blown away. And then I was surprised because all the good stuff that I was made up of all that. And then there was some other stuff that were part of me that they had little to do or nothing to do with, and that was even icing on the cake. And I said, oh cool. So I do have a meaning in life. That's really cool. I like that. That's cool. So anyhow,
yeah, that's very interesting.
Now, once you go, okay, I'm there. I'm this enlightened person. I'm lighted. Okay, I'm this incredible being, and I really have purpose and I have meaning in life, and I'm here to accomplish whatever it is I'm here to be do. You go, well, what am I going to do? What do I do now? Well, if you've ever studied psychology, the Maslow hierarchy of needs, they have this whole thing about the Maslow hierarchy of needs. And in this hierarchy of needs, they talk about your needs being met. First, they start out with your basics, food, water, shelter, and then your emotional needs, and then your mental needs, and then you become self-realized or self-actualized. They can put it a couple of different ways. Mm-hmm. And then they stop there. They go, well, they don't ever say what the needs are for the self-actualized or self-realized person. And I got to thinking about it, and I as much experience, as much knowledge, and as much people as I've talked to, I figured it out, a few years back. And the needs are for the person that's enlightened, for the person that's a master already there, is to do service. Your whole life is all about service. First of all, you can look at it however you like, and you look at any other path or method or religion or whatever you want, but it's very basic. You go first through this initiatory process. You go through all, and your whole life is kind of like an ongoing initiatory process in a way. You demonstrate that you can take care of your physical body, and then you go through an initiation. And this doesn't all happen all at the same time and consecutively, but it all happens differently for everyone. But this is kind of the foundation of it all. And then you demonstrate that you can maintain a stability over your emotional vehicle, your emotions and feelings. And actually, that's the hardest initiation to take because it takes there's so much drama involved and so much heartache involved. A lot of people that die of heart attacks and stuff like that, usually that's the crux of where they're at. But anyhow, and the next reason, the next initiation has to do with, again, going to college and becoming educated. In order to become, to take the third initiation, it has to do with your mental capabilities and learning how to think and just learning how to understand stuff and discriminate. So then you take your fourth initiation, which has to do with the transformation and transfiguration, all that stuff, and then and when you get to that point, you actually go back and you look at all your past history over everything, and you look at all that so you can better understand it, so that you can take the time to resolve it for yourself, and move so that you can move on. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is you become enlightened. You're per se the first major initiation that an enlightened being takes is actually the fifth initiation, where you become transformed and transfigured, and you can become what you call a master. Master over your senses. Master mm-hmm. over your physical vehicle, your emotional vehicle, your mental vehicle, your spiritual vehicle. You become a master over yourself. And that's your first real true initiation. That's when you first become, you can, you're quote-unquote become enlightened. And your need as part of that process is to do service. And in that process, you actually do kind of choose, you know, what kind of service do I want to do? So there's all different types of services. Your service to the animal kingdom, service to the plant kingdom, service to the mineral kingdom, service to humanity, service to angels. I mean, there's all kinds of service out there that you can do. And you can call it whatever name you want, but as long as you're doing it out of unconditional regard, out of no expectations, but to express yourself in your own loving way, to provide some kind of assistance for helping whatever area you want to help, that's what you do. And you know, whatever, you know, sometimes you may feel comfortable with it, sometimes you may not, but the whole idea is you just do it. You just do it because you know you have to do it, not because you know you're expecting something out of it, because you're just wanting to do it out of your kindness of your heart, out of just being yourself. And that's the bottom line.
Yeah, because it brings joy.
Exactly.
And I think that we all have that within us. And once people find that joy, that essence, you know, it changes their lives. Just turns them around, you know. They do a 180-degree turn, like instantly almost. And it's like the light bulb goes off. And it not only goes from their brain, but, I mean, it fires the heart and everything else. All of a sudden, it's like, wow, you know, this is fun. And, yeah, I love doing this. And, you know, like helping people. Well, I can tell you guys, you know, I've been afflicted with helper's disease since I was young. So so I've been, you know, out there doing service for my entire life of different types. And, you know, the change for me came when I started doing meditation and doing all these steps. And I realized that before I was doing these things because they made me feel good. That's what we call secondary reinforcement. Mm-hmm. But then I got to that point where I really didn't care. You know, it made absolutely no difference to me. I was doing it from some force deeper within me that it was like, okay, it's there in front of me, I'm going to do it. It's like I had to do it. And it didn't matter if anybody said, oh, you're so wonderful, you're so great, oh, thank you so much. In fact, I used to resent it then when people would thank me. And I would go, you know.
Since I'm beating up on yourself. Now, one of the things about this is that when you're doing this service, and I think you touched upon that, is that you're putting your ego to the side, and mm-hmm. you're putting yourself to the side, and what it is you're allowing the soul, your higher self, to serve. And that's what, you know, and when you do that, then you'll find that the fruits of your labor are so much more and so much useful and so much beneficial to all that you serve, and it's just so much more awesome that way.
Oh, right. And there's no ego involvement. And that's exactly what I meant, because when I got to that point where there wasn't any ego in it, it was like, well, this is what you do. And people would ask me, oh, you must get a lot of satisfaction out of that. And I think, well, no, I really don't get anything out of it that affects me, because when you put the ego aside, you're beyond that. You just do it because you want to. That's a part of your being. It becomes so natural. Yeah,
and that's it. When you're doing it because because that's a way of life for you, it makes all the difference in the world in terms of your daily lifestyle, your friends, your environment, everything that about you. It's when you're doing this stuff because that's just who you are, then you know people notice that and they'll go, well, you know, what's so different about this person? And then they'll want to learn, and then you know, eventually there'll be all these enlightened people all over the planet. And then the accomplishments that we'll be progressing upon will be so much more amazing than they are now. I mean, right now, just you know, this is just baby stuff. All the stuff we're accomplishing right now, and we have some really major stuff that we're accomplishing, but it's so minor compared to what's going to happen you know, down the pipe when, you know, more and more people become more enlightened and people start doing service out of selfless regard. And it's just going to be so amazing, just so amazing. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah, it makes a huge difference because there's no strings.
Exactly, exactly.
And when there's no strings, it's like, I guess the example that I frequently think about is what Torkham used to say. He'd say, you know, he said, when you get to a certain point and you have birthdays, you don't want people to celebrate them because you'll find that 99% of what they bring you has strings attached. And he said, don't ever accept a gift from someone when there's strings attached. And he gave several examples of the time, you know, about things that people had given to him. And then years later, they saw it, you know, and forgot that they gave it to him and then wanted it back. And he said, I give it back to them. He said, I don't want the strings. And it's a thing of energy. You know, if you give freely, if you give from the heart space, and you give absolutely freely, there's no secondary reinforcement. Of course, you start out having that, you know, because you got to have some kind of reinforcement to get you to keep doing it. But after a while, you get to that point where there are no strings attached. You know, you do something for someone because you can, and they say, oh, you know, I'm going to help you whenever I can, and you just kind of look at them and you go, you know, it's not necessary, whatever, you know. Just pay it forward, as they say, you know.
That's it. Now,
help
to
someone
recap
when they need
just
it.
Briefly, the five daily spiritual practices, very simple to do. Each you can do about 5 minutes per practice, including prayer, meditation, reading some kind of spiritual inspiring works, singing or listening to spiritual music or inspiring music, or doing some kind of mantra or affirmation, and then doing some kind of service project or spiritual activity every day. Doing this every day. If you start this today. And they say it takes 21 days to make a habit, to make the grade. Then 21 days from now, I guarantee you, your life will be changed. And maybe not incredibly, but I guarantee you it'll be changed to some degree or another, and probably in a really good way, I'm sure.
I
one of the things that I do have to mention is I've seen Sai Baba, Amici, Karunamai, and probably even Jesus and other teachers out there, teachers that they teach students. I mean, hundreds and thousands of students daily. Mm-hmm. These people are involved with teaching these people. And each one of them, I've seen this in action. I've seen this in these five spiritual practices. And they use these, you know, religiously. They use these five spiritual practices religiously. I've seen every one of them use this technique. And they are able to help teach to hundreds of thousands of people, not just a few hundred people or you know, an auditorium full of people, mm-hmm. thousands and thousands and millions of people. These people use the same exact spiritual practices. So I know they work. I know they work.
Absolutely. It's a path. We're going to have to start winding it up now, or we're going to get the hook pretty soon.
Okay.
So let's give your website is spiritualimageproductions.com, and people can go there.
If anything else, you can always look up my website. One of my websites is divineimages.org. I have over 2,300 photographs on there of different spiritual events that I've been to or things that I've been involved with. But you can just look up Divine Images. That'll come up to one of my websites. Or, again, you can just go type in my name, Andrew Trivino, and that's Trivino. Type in it on just about any search engine, my website will come up. But or you can just go straight to Spiritual Image Productions, and that is plural.com, and that'll come up. And you can email me if you have any questions. Eventually, within the next few weeks, I'll be putting some of the stuff up there. And then if people want to, are interested in more development and stuff like that, I'll have some other stuff for them to work with, or you know, they can email me or call me, whatever. You know,
okay.
I'm happy to be of service.
Okay, excellent. And again, thank you for being on the show, Andrew, and listeners. I hope that has helped quite a bit. And you know, drop me a line if you have any questions, or drop Andrew a line. And I would hope that you would go to my website too and check out those two opportunities that I told you about. They're pretty awesome. And you know, if you know me, you know I'm looking for something that's going to make me money while I'm sleeping, so so I can go play, have more fun. Anyway, so until next week, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty night. Thanks for listening.
Ciao.
Thank you. Señor, mi